As we are beginning a new series season, I would like to remind you of the vision that God gave us as a church 9.5 years ago when the church started, the vision that drives us forward. To summarize the vision of Flood Church in 6 words, our vision is young people being transformed by Jesus. Young people being transformed by Jesus. I need to clarify something regarding this vision. First, this vision does not describe who we are. This is not who we are. So when people ask you, what is Flood Church? The answer isn't Flood Church is young people being transformed by Jesus. That's not who Flood Church is. This vision is what Flood Church is trusting God to use it to do in this city. We are trusting God to use us as a community to bring transformation to the young people in our city. And so people that are part of this church have all kinds of age ranges, but all of us together are trusting God to be used to bring young people the experience of being transformed by Jesus. This is our vision. This is what we want to see God do through us in the lives of the young people there. And so today, I would like to speak on this vision from the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let me invite you to stand for the reading of Scripture. John chapter 1. Verse 35 to 42. John the baptizer was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they say to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and say to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. This is God's word. You may be seated. One of the questions that I got curious about when it comes to the disciples of Jesus, these men who either left everything and followed him, or were invited by Jesus to leave everything and follow him, I got curious about how old they were when they started following Jesus, when they accepted this invitation to follow Jesus. Well, if you remember that Jesus is a Jewish rabbi at the time that he's calling these disciples to follow him, then history tells us that the Jewish rabbis in those days would have disciples follow them between the ages of 13 and 30. It was very unusual for a rabbi to have a disciple that was much older than that. An educated guess regarding the disciples of Jesus in particular seems to indicate that many of them would have been even much younger than 30, perhaps in their mid-teens or late teen years, with perhaps the exception of Matthew and Peter, who would have been young but older among the disciples. And these are some of the indications that indicate that. On one occasion, Jesus had visitors at the door from the MRA. And they knocked and they said, we are here to collect tax. And the Bible tells us that Peter and Jesus had to pay tax. Jewish law stated that the temple tax had to be paid by any male, by those who were older than 20 years of age. And so it says Jesus and Peter had to pay the tax on that occasion. The other disciples were there with them, but there is no indication that they paid the tax too, which suggests that they may have been young enough to be exempt from the temple tax, with the exception of Peter and Jesus. And the other indication is that the last disciple to be alive was John, because he wrote the book of Revelation in the late 90s AD. And this was about 66 or 65 years after Jesus left. And so this indicates that John, at least, was very, very young indeed to have been alive 66 years after Jesus had already left. So he would have been very young when Jesus called him to follow him. And so we know that there were young men when Jesus called them to follow him. And this is a good reminder for us as a church that this vision we have of seeing young people transformed by Jesus is not something that's starting with us. It starts with Jesus himself. When he came into the world, he believed that he had the power to transform these young men so that in every stage of life following their time with him, they would be instruments of transformation for others. Now, one of the things that you know about young people is that young people have issues. And when it comes to one particular young man in Jesus's circle, Peter, the question comes, what are some of the things that are issues in young people's lives that we see at play in the life of this young man, Peter, who when he meets Jesus, he has a job, he's a fisherman, he has a wife, he has three kids, we think, young ones probably, and it seems like he has a brother who lives with him, because we all have relatives like that from time to time. And even his mother-in-law lives with him, which, woo! So there is a lot going on in Peter's life when he meets Jesus. And Jesus knows that the mission God sent him on is to die for this young man, to fill him with God's Spirit, to transform his life, and to unleash him on the world for the kingdom of God. Jesus believes in this vision, but Peter has issues. So the question I would like to answer this morning is, what's the matter with Peter? What's the matter with Peter? Even though Peter was brought to Jesus, we find that being brought to Jesus did not immediately resolve all of his issues. And sometimes we can be intimidated by a vision to bring young people to Christ, because we know that even when we bring them to Christ, young people will tend to continue to have a lot of issues that Jesus needs to work through. But that is the vision that Jesus believes in, and he stays with that mission of transforming Peter's life, even though after Peter comes to Christ, he continues to have many, many issues. So, for example, you remember that time when Peter was in a boat and he said to Jesus, call me out on the water to walk with you. He saw Jesus walking on water, and they freaked out, because that's how you should react when you see somebody doing something weird. So they freak out and they say, what the heck? And Jesus says, cool it, it's just me, Jesus, doing my thing. And Peter said, if it's you, then call me out on the water to walk with you. And Jesus said, all right, come. And believe it or not, Peter was crazy enough to step out of the boat. It must have been a difficult conversation at home with his wife when he told her this. I went out of the boat in the middle of the lake. Wives don't like husbands who do stuff like that. And so he steps out of the boat and he begins to walk on water. But the Bible says when he saw the waves on the lake, he doubted and he began to sink. This is after he has been brought to Jesus, after he has interacted with Jesus, because Peter has doubts, but Jesus is working to change that. Jesus is working to change that. Because that's why he came into the world, to work on the transformation of these people. Peter has doubts, but Jesus is working to change that. And there are young people in this city that are filled with doubts. And Jesus wants to work through us as a church to change that. It may not change overnight. It may not change after a year. But Jesus wants to work through us to change that. To change that. So when we see young people with doubts, those are the ones Jesus wants to work in to change. Or you remember that time that Peter saw that Jesus had been arrested, and then he was following Jesus from a distance, and some people recognized Peter as one of Jesus' disciples, and they said, here is another one. Here is another one. That guy you arrested, here is one of his people. And Peter freaked out and thought that he was going to be busted too. And so he said, I have no idea who that guy is. I ain't got time for this. I don't know who that guy is. Why? Because Peter is a young man with fears. But Jesus continues to work to change that. He has fears. But Jesus is working to change that. And in this city, there are many young people with fears. And Jesus wants to partner with us to change that. To transform their lives and change that. Because Jesus has the power to change that. Or you remember that time that Peter was having lunch with some Christians who were racially and ethnically different from him, because Peter was a Jew, and there were these Christians who were Gentiles, and he said, hey, we're brothers, we're cool, we're homies, we're going to heaven together, Jesus is for us, and therefore I am for you, let's eat and sima together. So they gathered, they're eating, and they're having a good time. But then Peter receives a text message that some Jews are coming from Jerusalem to visit, and they're just around the corner, and they're about to arrive. And Peter begins to think, what are my fellow Jews going to think when they see me, a Jew, eating with Gentiles? So he excuses himself. He says, hey, bros, I just got to use the bathroom real quick. And so he disappears. He disappears into some bushes, pretending to be doing something important. But Paul was there, another disciple of Jesus, and Paul knew that this was not just a bathroom break. So he stepped up to Peter and he says, what's your deal? You can't pretend that you're just taking a break. The reason why you have left our Gentile brothers is because you're trying to impress those Jewish people who are coming, because you don't want to be criticized for interacting with Gentiles. That's completely out of order. He calls him out on it, because even after all these time of being with Jesus, Peter still has biases. But Jesus is working to change that. Jesus doesn't let him go, doesn't abandon him. He continues to work to change him. Because Jesus is the one who has the power to transform lives. And he sticks with it. And in this city, there are many young people with many biases. You would think that bias is just a relic of the old. You'll be mistaken. Parents do a good job of passing on their biases to their children. The things they say, the things they do, children pick up on these things. Azungu this, amwenye that, atumbuka this, achewa this. They pick up on those things. And so by the time somebody is a teenager, they have all these biases in them. Racial biases, tribal biases, and gender biases, even denominational biases. Ooh, you're marrying a Presbyterian? Sure. So, Peter has biases, but Jesus is working to change that. And the same way here in our city, Jesus has raised us up as a community to partner with him to change the lives of young people. On that occasion, when Jesus was arrested and Peter was watching him from a distance, it was a cold night, and so Peter found these other young people warming themselves by a fire, and one of the girls, maybe she was pretty, I don't know, said, "Hey, ain't you one of Jesus' disciples?" And Peter just absolutely lost it. The Bible says he began to swear and cuss. Why? Because even though he's already been brought to Jesus, Peter has profanity in him. Profanity. And in this city, there are some young people with serious profanity skills. Jesus wants to change them. He wants to work with us to change them. He wants young people to come to him who cuss, who swear, and for us to believe what he believes, that he will not let go of the task of transforming their lives. Peter has profanity issues, but Jesus is working to change that. Or remember that time that Peter participated in a debate with the other disciples about who was the greatest? Who was the greatest? And the Bible says that John and his brother James one time went and asked Jesus if in the kingdom of heaven they could sit one on the right and one on the left. And the gospel writers say the other disciples, which includes Peter, were indignant. They were livid. How dare you? Even if there were places in heaven on Jesus' left and right, you think it will be given to the likes of you? Peter has pride issues, but Jesus sticks with him because Jesus is working to change that. Or my favorite, remember that time in the garden when the people come to arrest Jesus and Peter pulls out his Swiss knife and cuts off the ear and it comes right off. And many scholars believe that Peter actually missed. He was going for the head. I mean, who cuts off an ear? Would you go for an ear? That makes no sense. It makes no sense that you would pull out a knife and cut off somebody's ear. You either stub them in the gut, or you stub them in the chest, or you try to cut their head off. He tried to cut somebody's head off. I go with that. And the person may have ducked, and then Peter missed, and the ear got cut off. Peter has violence in him. Violence is in his heart. But Jesus does not say, "All right, that's it. That's crossed the line. That's the last straw. I cannot work with violent young people." No, go to Buandilo and stay there. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus sticks with Peter, even though he has violence issues, because Jesus is working to change him. Always. Or remember that time when Peter had been fishing all night and caught nothing? That's called an embarrassment for a fisherman. That's failure. Yeah, That's walking into an exam and coming out with zero. That's not something you rush home to report to your roommates or to your cousins or to your parents. So when Peter meets Jesus, he's a young man who has failures. There are things he's tried to do and that haven't worked out. But Jesus does not throw him to the curb because he has failures in his life, because Jesus is working to change him. He's working to change him. All the time that he said, I don't know who this guy is, even though he knew him. Peter has lies. He lies, and he's good at it. He lies about what he knows, about who he is. But Jesus does not discard him because he lies. He sticks with it because he's working to change him. Peter also complains. He has fusses. He complains. When Jesus says to him, hey, Peter, take your boat out with me so that we can catch some fish. He's like, oh, man, you know, I'm tired. I've worked all night and all of this. Anyway, you know, he has a complaining attitude. He gripes. But Jesus doesn't say, okay, that's it. I'm using another boat. You had your chance. No, he sticks with him because he's working to change him. He's working to change him. Oh, remember that time when Jesus rose from the dead and Jesus was walking with Peter on the beach and Peter started to get nosy, asking about John's life. Hey, what's going on with John? What are you going to do about him? All of this and that and the other. And essentially, Jesus just said, that's none of your business. There are nosy young people in Lilongwe that Jesus wants to change. Many of them, nosy. And you know, social media has helped us to be nosy in other people's lives. But Jesus doesn't discard him because he's nosy. He continues to walk with him on the beach because Jesus is working to change him. So while Peter is one of these young men who has met Jesus and is walking with him, he obviously has all kinds of problems. And the reason Jesus sticks it out with him is because Jesus wants to transform his life. Which brings me to Andrew. For Peter to have access to the transforming power of Jesus through all of his issues, it was because of a simple invitation from his brother, Andrew. Andrew said to Peter, we have found the Messiah. And the Bible says that all Andrew did was bring him to Jesus. He just brought him. He just brought him to Christ. He said, just come with me and see. Just come with me and see what God would do in your life. That's all Andrew did. And so, to summarize the lesson here from this passage of Scripture, to help people experience transformation, we have to bring them to Jesus. Jesus is the one who transforms. Jesus is not asking us to transform young people's lives. We can't. Goodness, it's hard enough trying to transform your own life. I told myself a couple of weeks ago I was going to go jogging 3 times a week. So I started on Monday and it really hurt. And then I tried it again on Thursday. And I thought it would hurt less, but it hurt more. And the other day I said I would go jogging on Saturday, which was yesterday, and I just didn't go. I was like, no, I'll try it again on Monday, but I'm not going. It's hard enough transforming your own life. God knows you can't transform anybody's life. Jesus can. Jesus is the one who transforms. Jesus is the one who sticks it out with people that are messed up, jacked up, and people that do harm to themselves. He just wants us to bring them. Like Andrew did. Just bring them. Bring them to Jesus. Now, in Andrew's case, that meant four things. What does bringing someone to Jesus mean? One, it means bringing them to your confession of Jesus. Bringing them to your confession of Jesus. That's all Andrew did. He told him what he had found about Jesus. We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. Now, Andrew is being deliberate in using this term Messiah because he knows that Peter is a Jew who has been looking forward to the coming of the Messiah in the world. It was the longing in every Jew's heart to meet the Messiah, to be alive when the Messiah comes. So Andrew says, you know that thing you have been longing for? We have found it. This guy Jesus is the deal. Maybe if Peter was a drunk, Andrew may not have said, we found the Messiah. He may have said, we have found the drink that truly satisfies. Maybe if Peter was a sex addict, he may not have said, we found the Messiah. He would have said, we have found the one that frees us from our addictions. Andrew is using this language deliberately to say that the thing that you long for, Peter, we found it. It's Jesus. We found it. He confesses this. We have found the thing that truly satisfies. Bring them to your confession of Jesus. Bring them. Secondly, bringing someone to Jesus means bringing them to your conversation about Jesus. By mentioning Jesus to Peter, he's inviting him into this conversation. Let's talk about this. Young people love talking about stuff. I promise you, they don't mind talking about Jesus. They may even find your views on Jesus offensive, but they don't actually mind talking about it. They would love to have a conversation about things that matter. Things that matter, things that are important. And so Andrew, by mentioning Jesus to Peter, he's inviting him into this conversation. Let's have a chat. Let's talk about what you think about this. Thirdly, Andrew, by mentioning Jesus and saying, come with us, he's bringing him to his community of Jesus. He didn't say, I have found the Messiah. He says, we have found. Because Andrew is with someone else. He's got others with him that have started on this journey of following Jesus. And that's why this community exists, to be an opportunity for you, whenever you meet young people, to say, hey, come and see Jesus when we meet with him. Just come. And so Andrew brings him to his community of Jesus. And when he gets there with Peter, Peter is able to participate in communion with Jesus, in having heart-to-heart conversations with Jesus that lasts for a lifetime and that Jesus uses to address the issues in his life. To help people experience transformation, we bring them to Jesus.